Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And with those two verses, I want to introduce to you the four P's of success. Pray, plan, participate, and produce. Ask, that's prayer. Seek, that's planning. Knock, that is participation. Ye shall receive, you shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. That is productivity. Notice, the end result is guaranteed by the Son of God himself. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Assurance from the Lord. But let's notice these briefly, one at a time. Ask, as we said, that's a prayer. You do believe in the providence of God, do you not? Oh, I'm sure you do. No problem with that at all. However, I need to be very careful about the expression of my relationship to the Lord. You know, it's an interesting thing. Solomon said, did he not, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16, be not righteous over much. Solomon, are you telling me that I can become too righteous? I can, no. What he's saying is, do not exploit, do not advertise your righteousness. You see, the way greatness is shown in the kingdom of God is through humility and service. So I need to be very, very careful. Sure, we believe in the providence of God. We know that we are the objects of his providence, and there's no question about it. But I need to be very careful. I don't want to be like the farmer who thought he'd better visit his neighbor. He saddled up, and as he rode through the lanes, man, the crops are lush. I mean, they are coming on looking good, going to be a bumper crop this year. Reined into his neighbor's yard, dismounted, threw the reins over the hitching rail, and the first thing he said to his neighbor was, well, I see that Matthew 5, verse 45 is true. God does send rain on the unjust. I'm just, you're unjust. No. Righteousness is not shown that way. Righteousness is shown in humble service. Let people identify whether or not you are righteous. He who would be first among you shall be servant of all. The way up in the kingdom of God is down. And I need to understand that. Yes, sir. The providence of God. You know, if there were no providence, there would be no point in praying the prayer the Lord taught his disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. You remember he said that they were to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Well, someone said, preacher, I know where my daily bread comes from, the strength, the alacrity, the old right hand. I mean, I earn my daily bread, friend. You're forgetting something. Behind the loaf, the snowy flour. Behind the flour, the mill. Behind the mill, the wheat and the shower, and the sun and the Father's will. Don't you ever forget James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. I owe him all that I am and everything that I possess. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. I didn't bring it. I won't take it, and while I'm here, it isn't mine. God Almighty allows me to use it so that I can better serve him. The providence of God, we understand that. So what did you say? Ask. Oh, prayer, that's vitally important. You know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Didn't James say that, chapter 5, verse 16? How did he illustrate it? Oh, he said Elijah was a man of like passions with us. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain upon the earth, that it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave forth the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Wonderful. Prayer is effective. Oh, well, someone says, yeah, but now, preacher, the Lord had a hand in that. That's what James is talking about. The Lord has a hand. As a matter of fact, he is the source of the answer, the supply of our requests. Absolutely. Oh, the problem with some people is they want to limit God to miracles. Say, friend, if you limit God to the miraculous, you are limiting him to time and space. God is not limited to time and space. God can do anything today that he ever did through miracles. You say, and I need to believe in him. His power, his resourcefulness is unlimited. Ask, and you shall receive. Luke 18, verse 1. He taught them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, Jesus said, you remember, Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Indeed. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I desire that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. No, he isn't telling you what to do with your hands when you pray. If you want to lift them up, that's all right. That's not what he's saying. Out of a pure heart, faultless life, pray to God. Pure hands. Oh, dedicated to his service. And on that basis, he hears our prayers. Now, if we aren't careful, we expect God, zap, to do this, boom, that happens, and here's what I need, and he just, no. God does not answer prayers in that way. God answers prayer from an overall knowledge. He is omniscient. He knows what is best down the line for those for whom I may pray or for my needs if I request this or that, that I may use it in his service. That may prove a stumbling block to me, but God understands that, and he loves me. So he doesn't always answer prayers as I think that he should. Sometimes, you know, he answers, and yes, immediately, and everything works out smoothly, and sometimes it's no. And sometimes, maybe, depending, of course, on my needs and my conduct, my attitude, my relationship to my fellow man, you see. And then sometimes it's wait a while. You see, I leave that to the Almighty. My privilege is to pray to him whose resourcefulness is unlimited to make things work for my good. And my faith leads me to believe that he'll do that very thing. Ask, and you shall receive. Oh, indeed, we need to pray to our Heavenly Father. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Someone said, now, preacher, you mean I'm to be in the attitude and the posture of prayer? Oh, no. But all the time, you must recognize who you are. Physical being in the physical world? Physical? No. An immortal spirit made in the image and the likeness of God. So I need to keep that in my consciousness continually. And in the tasks of daily living, the circumstances that occur, you may have a narrow miss. First thing you think about, thank you, Lord. And then there may be an unexpected blessing all of a sudden. And the first thought is, thank you, Lord. We live in his presence continually. And I need to be aware of that. Pray without ceasing, an attitude of prayer. Recognition continually of the fact that I depend totally upon God Almighty. Every gift, as we said earlier, is from God. Oh, there's no question about that. So I need to be thankful to him for his goodness toward me. And I need to remember that he can supply my needs, whatever they may be. Well, he is in total and absolute control of the affairs of this world. Sure, he allows man to suffer the consequences of his ungodliness. No question. Sin will destroy a nation. And we're going down rapidly in this great land that was founded upon biblical principle. No, it was never a Christian nation per se. But our forefathers, the founders of this nation, believed that the Bible contained the Word of God. And our Constitution was drawn up on that basis. And today we are rapidly departing from that principle. And there are forces at work that would change our Constitution, and we are already passing laws that will limit the freedom of speech. It is amazing. And almost everywhere you turn, immorality, ungodliness of every kind in this great land. However, I remember Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to many people. How much righteousness will it take to preserve the United States of America, the greatest nation that ever graced the face of this earth at one time? I don't know, but I do remember that Abraham talked to God about Sodom. Sodom, synonym for homosexuality, sodomy, gross, immoral, ungodly, unnatural sin. And God literally destroyed the cities of the plain so that today their exact location cannot be established upon the map. What would it have taken to preserve Sodom and Gomorrah? God reasoned with Abraham, and Abraham got down to 10. Lord, if there be 10 righteous people in the cities, God said, if I find 10 righteous people, I'll spare the whole place for the sake of the 10. How much righteousness would it take to preserve our nation? I don't know, but I know my relationship with the Lord. I know the privileges that I have to do my best to walk circumspectly before Him, studying, reading His Word regularly, seeking to apply these principles. Now, that's called righteousness. Psalms 119, verse 172. Let my lips sing of Thy Word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Oh, then I need to live my life in harmony with the Lord's will if we want to preserve our nation. Ask, and you shall Do you remember Moses' problem, the reason why he didn't enter the promised land? Numbers chapter 20, you recall. Israel is griping. They're murmuring against God. You brought us up out of Egypt. There's no water. They're ready to stone Moses. Now, I understand Moses from the human standpoint. I understand exactly how Moses, these people have witnessed the demonstration of the unlimited power of God Almighty. They saw the nation of Egypt destroyed with 10 horrible plagues. They walked across the Red Sea on dry land with the waters congealed as a wall on either side. God fed them with manna rain miraculously from heaven 6 days out of every week. They had seen the power of God. And now what are they doing? Griping. Grumbling, ready to go back to Egypt, stone Moses. Moses prayed to God. God said, take thy rod and stand before the rock. Speak to it. The water will come forth, the people will drink and their cattle. Now understand, I know from the human standpoint how Moses felt. It'll kill you. Moses stood before that rock. He said, see, rebels, shall we bring forth water from this rock? And he smote that rock twice. The water came. The people drank and their cattle. But God said, because you fail to sanctify me in the eyes of this people, you will not enter the promised land. Friend, if anybody becomes agitated with the people of God, you let it be God Almighty. I'm a sinner like other people. I'm trying to order my life in harmony with the Lord's will. I'm not going to get agitated, aggravated. I'm not going to lose my soul because of a negative attitude toward you. No, sir. I may help you, try to, with the right example and through teaching, possibly, and hoping to improve it, it's up to you. I'm not going to lose my soul because of your failure. No, sir. I'm going to live in harmony with the Lord's word, and I'm going to love you. Oh, do you remember Joshua? Chapter 9. You know, God had strictly forbade Israel when they entered the promised land to make any kind of covenant with the people of that place. They were to destroy them, remove their wickedness and ungodliness, brought about their destruction. But do you remember the Gibeonites? Smart people. They knew what God was doing. They understood perfectly what was going to happen. And so these fellows put old worn-out saddles on their camels, laced together with rawhide thongs. They put old worn-out shoes on their feet. They took old molded bread. They put dust on their heads, worn-out garments. And they go into the camp of Israel, worn out. I mean just worn. Ooh, they've come from a long distance. We have heard of the power of God and His goodness. We want to be a part of this, etc. Joshua, talk to God. Now he saw those worn out saddles, those sandals, dust. And when those people shared their bread with him, it's molded. Joshua, talk to God. No. He went on the physical evidence, and he made a covenant with these people that were just 3 days away. Failure, because we do not talk to our... Ask, and you shall receive. Talk to your Heavenly Father in all of the difficulties and problems, as well as the joyous times of blessing in this life. Talk to God. Pray. But he said, seek... And you shall seek, that's planning, plan an orderly arrangement of the parts of an overall design. We understand that. And as the church of our Lord, we are in the biggest business in the world. Nothing equal to it, nothing important compared to it. Biggest business in the world. Everything else will pass. So of all people in this whole world, we need to make plans. We need to know where we're going. As a matter of fact, didn't the wise man say, Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. We need to know, well, now some will say, conditions are different today. I mean, that was a slower pace of life. You could plan and work things out, kind of, we live in a hurry-scurry time. I mean, people are moving. One ship drives east and another drives west with the self-same winds that blow. It is the set of the sail, not the gale, that determines the way they go. As the winds of the sea are the winds of fate as we journey along through life, it is the will of the soul that determines the goal, not the calm or the strife. Who are you serving anyway? God? We usually say Almighty? Right. Then all he needs is a helping hand. Do what he said, he can do the rest of it. He can perform the impossible, but he won't do a thing until I dedicate my life to the accomplishment of his will. The church, what Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which for ages hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to make plans. A 5-year plan is not too short and is rather lengthy, but break it down into 6-month increments and come together and see if you're on target. Now, are we going to be where we think we're going to be, where we're planning to be in 5 years? Check it out about every 3 to 6 months. We're going to have this number saved. So we're going to be working on a daily basis to the end that in 5 years we'll reach whatever the number and the plans may be. We need to make plans. Need to know where we're going. They don't need to be like that kid moved into the town where the railhead was. I mean, you know, mind every spare moment he had, he was down there, and he'd watch those Indian engines on that turnstile, and they'd turn around and they'd pull these boxcars. It fascinated him. Railroad trains, it was wonderful to him. One day he was down there, there was an old gentleman standing there. There were 4 sets of rails running into this town. And the young man said to that older fellow, "Sir, excuse me, but could you tell me where these rails go?" The old gentleman expectorated about a pint of ambeer, switched his quid from one jaw to the other, cleared his throat, and he said, "Young fella, man and boy, I've been in these parts more than 60 years. And he said, "They ain't never gone nowhere. They'd have been laying right there all this time." If somebody came into this community visiting with a friend, not a member of the church, but they see you coming and going and you assemble, and if he should ask his friend who lives in the community, who are those people? Where are they going? What are they trying to accomplish? Could the neighbor tell them? Are we really busy in the service of the Lord? Does the community know what the church is all about? Why we are here, what we're trying to do. No, you may not be successful. That's beside the point. I say, just to do what the Lord said. You remember Isaiah, what is that, chapter 6 of verse 8? Isaiah found himself in the presence of God. Man is afraid. I'm a man of unclean lips. He's afraid he's going to die. But an angel took a coal from the altar and touched his lips. And God was saying, whom shall we send? And who shall go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And God said, you go and tell them, they won't hear you. They won't listen. Human reasoning, Lord, if they're not going to pay any attention, it's a waste of my time. As my dad used to say, look at me, boy, I'm talking to you. Go tell them. What? Go tell them. What they do about it is their business. You do what I tell you to do. Ooh, the church is in this world to make known the multifarious, limitless wisdom of God Almighty. That's right. Now I need to be busy. That's what the church is all. Oh, and the salvation of my soul is contingent upon my relationship with the Almighty. The church has a tremendous task in this world. We need to make plans, and we need to be diligent in working those plans. Yes, sirree. But then, participation. I heard a preacher introduce a visiting preacher one time. They had gone to school together. They were friends. This fellow was from Arkansas, and the preacher, a local man, introduced him, gave him a glowing introduction. And he closed it out with these words. He said, there's only two things wrong with this man. He said, one is he won't work in the garden. And he said, the other is he won't work out of the garden. That pretty well covers the field, doesn't it? Yes, what about me? You know, you can hire people, and there are people available who can come into your community, take a survey. They can tell you the names of every person, give you the address. They can tell you the background, the religious standing, etc., even the names of most of the dogs. I mean, and they can take a few weeks doing that. They come into your office and drop that portfolio on your desk, and there it lies. You see, plans don't work. No. People work plans. Oh, we need to put these plans into practice. I need to see what the plan's all about, then go work it. That's the way that thing is done. You know, I suppose in the history of the church, we have not had more missionaries in more foreign countries than we have today. And that's good. May their tribe increase. God bless their efforts. And I'm sure you're supporting some of them, and that's good. Hopefully it can be increased. That won't get the job done. No, sir. No, sir. Oh, they're great. They're doing a lot of good, but no. How is righteousness really spread? Oh, Acts chapter 8, persecution that Paul launched against the church, you remember? These people were driven from their homes. Oh, but verse 4 says, they that were scattered abroad went about everywhere griping because of the conditions that prevailed. Here I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to save my friend. And here I'm run out of town, and I've lost my home. Hey, that's not what verse 4 says in Acts chapter 8. They that were scattered abroad went about everywhere preaching the word. I said, that's it. Ever try to put out a brush fire with a small cedar that you cut for the purpose? And it starts in six other places on a windy day. It's just almost impossible. Same thing. If you love the Lord, and if your life is an exhibition of the principles contained in His Word, you can't help but speak as He directs. And friend, when you do that, Christianity is spread abroad. The church grows. There's no way Satan can kill it. Every time he scatters it, it goes to different places, and the faithful preach the word. They share with others the good news of human redemption. It's done on a one-to-one basis, and the local congregation. Sometimes people will say, well, preacher, I can't sell my home and give up a job. I'm within 2, 3, 4 years of retirement. I can't just quit what I'm doing and go to some foreign country. What are you talking about? What about doing mission work? I can't go to Africa or to Poland. What are you talking about? No. The Lord said to the apostles, and this commission falls on you upon the shoulders of each succeeding generation of the Lord's people, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, if you'll get a globe and flip that thing around, you'll see that little old country that's a little bit longer than it is tall, and it has an arm sticking out here on the bottom, and this part kind of comes out over here. There's a gulf in this area, and the northeastern part of it goes up like this, and it's called the United States of America. And if you'll notice, the biggest state in that whole thing, it has a panhandle to it, you know. It's called Texas. Woo-hoo! Oh, the great... By the way, there wouldn't have been a Texas if it hadn't been for Tennesseans. No, don't shoot. I'm innocent. But in Texas, great state, no question. Oh, then you can drop your globe and pick up a map. And you start looking at that map, and you'll notice just south of Abilene, about 83 miles, there's a place called San Angelo. Ooh, then San Angelo is in the world, right? Oh, by the way, that creature sitting next to you on the pew there is the one the Lord wants you to talk to about truth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're in the world, and that's a creature. Get busy. do your work for the Lord. And that's the way it spread. No, you don't have to make a physical move. You don't have to go to some, that's fine if you can and you want to, that's great. Oh, and so many times in India, you know, over here, a preacher preaches an hour and a half when he's supposed to just preach 35 minutes. I'm going to stand it. You know, we shake that watch and sometimes get a barometer, dry and windy. And sometimes people hold up a calendar. When is that man going to quit? In India, you can't quit. No, don't quit. They've come hundreds of miles. They've walked many, many miles to hear the truth, and they want to hear the truth. They are anxious. They're hungry for the truth. They keep you busy day and night. Sure, if you can go, that's fine. That does a good work. But you don't have to go anywhere. So you are. Just get busy. But hey, there's three reasons why people don't participate, and I'm going to hush here in a minute. Three reasons why people do not knock. They don't participate in the Lord's work. One is fear. Now, I understand that. I understand that perfectly. As a matter of fact, I grew up very, very timid. I was very, very backward. We had company coming to the front door. I grabbed my Red Ryder BB gun and headed for the ridges. I cut my teeth on a Red Ryder BB gun. And said, I couldn't eat with my best friend. My nose would run, my eyes would water. I just couldn't eat. I'm timid. I mean, backward. Well, to say the least, to make the story short, Rex Turner talked my wife into our going to school with a view to my becoming a preacher. I thought the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. But to say the least, we'd been down there maybe, I don't know, not quite a year. Brother Ed Holt, one of the professors, said, now, James, he said, I have you an appointment to preach 2 weeks from Sunday at Ebenezer, Alabama. And when I got up off the ground, I said, what? It scared me to death. I can remember quite well. I had nightmares that 2 weeks. I remember a couple of them very well. I'm standing up before 1,000 people. I mean, just 1,000 people. I look down, don't have my pants on. Whoo! Wake up in a cold sweat. I remember that quite well. Another one that I remember in that 2 weeks' time, I'm behind the curtain. There's 1,000 people in the audience, and they're shaking their watches. They've been there for an hour, and I can't think of the first word. I can't think of the first word that I'm supposed to say. Nightmares. I remember. I got up 4.5 hours of material. Man, I got up down there in 17 minutes. I said everything I could think of, and I was soaking wet with sweat. I'm sad about fear. Sure. I'm not capable. And I'm glad you have that attitude. I don't, even now, I hear these introductions, and I think, man, if I'd like that, I'd preach day and night. I just, people, they're poor. But I need to do the best I can, and the Lord will take care of the rest of it. You know, it doesn't matter what station in life you may occupy, what strata of society you may be in. That's not important. No. The Lord can use you. Do what you can for the Lord. Sure, you'll overcome some of those fears. You see, fear is a lack of faith. You remember old Peter in Matthew chapter 14? It's fourth watch of the night. A big storm's going on. That boat's giving it this. It hits a 45, it'll flip, and they'll be in the water. Man, Jesus comes walking on the water. And they cry out. They think it's a ghost. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In the worst storms in life, don't worry about it, Lord's here. You can be of good cheer. You don't have to be afraid. God Almighty will take care of you. Yeah, but I can lose my life. Friend, you're going to lose your life. Anyway, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed when a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. That physical death is not important. No, that can happen anytime. You remember that Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee upon the water. Jesus said, come. Peter stepped down from that boat and began to walk on the water. Man, we don't say enough about that. The only person ever to walk on the surface of the water save the Lord himself is that big two-fisted fisherman, Peter. Oh, but the record says in verse 28, when he saw the wind, obviously the effect of the wind on the waves, he began to sink. What's his problem? He took his eye off the only goal worthy of human consideration, became more concerned with immediate material things than with his proper goal. You'll sink every time. Every time. Keep your eye on the Lord. Trust Him in all of the affairs of life. Yes, sir. I remember, if I'm going to be a faithful child of God, Oh, I need to overcome those fears. Limited, weak, there's no question about that. Friends, trust the Lord in all the areas of life. There are so many more things that we could say about the weakness that characterizes so many members of the Lord's church. One thing that gets in our way, as we said earlier in the class, is ignorance. Oh, and I use that advisedly. Ignorance is the absence of knowledge. I remember that Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. And someone says, there it is. It's miraculous. Listen, it is written in the prophets. They shall all be taught of God. He therefore that hath heard from the Father and learns comes unto me. Oh, then I need to read this book regularly. Right. Oh, that'll give me the strength and the knowledge to do the Lord's will, but at the same time, it will eliminate my fears. I can put my trust in Him. Say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Are you talking to the Lord today? Regularly, sincerely, out of a life that has needs, and at the same time, has many wonderful blessings. We need to be thankful. We need to make requests. We need to remember that we are totally dependent upon our Heavenly Father. Seek, and you shall make plans to accomplish His will in your life, and to the best of your ability, in the lives of others. And then get busy. Participate. That'll bring about an abundant degree of success. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, make that faith a reality. That is, turn away from the willful practice of sin and error. And then you will have no trouble confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Being buried with Him in baptism, or at that point, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses one from all unrighteousness. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6 at verse 6, the old body of sin is done away. Raised from the watery tomb, a new creation in Christ, under the protected custody of the blood of Christ. If you're subject to His invitation, whether as an erring child of God or an alien sinner, we're a family. That's why we're here. If we can help, let us know. While it's come, make your wishes known. While together we stand and sing.